G'day Groovers, hope you're great, hope you're enjoying the end of year or the new year, depending on when you listen to this. Welcome to another instalment of The U Project. My name is Craig Anthony Harper. Welcome aboard. Hi Melissa.
Hello, good morning. How's it going over there?
Good morning to you. It's pretty good over here. I'm just looking out. Well, of course, we're recording this a little bit earlier. It's a week or so before Christmas as we record. The great man, the alumni, BOG, MVP of The U Project for 2020, as voted by you, Melissa, and I'm sure the listeners. Jeff Jowett joins us. Hello, Jeffro.
Oh, what a great honour. Craig Anthony Harper. Melissa, thank you so much. I'm blushing.
What are you, do you have any kind of rituals or anything for Christmas? Do you hang out with friends or family? What's your go-to?
Mate, yeah, Christmas Day, I go see Dad, my stepmum, her boys and whatnot out there and put a few hours in there and mate, that's about it. I'm an only child. Dad's an only child. Mum passed away, so it's a pretty small affair. And mate, it's good. We go out there and then I'll get the dogs for a swim and probably go ride my horse. What a great Christmas.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Yours and mine is not that dissimilar. I'm an only child and it's a pretty low-key affair at fucking Camp Harper on Christmas Day. Just, you know, a couple of streamers and Ron and Mary and Arps.
Mate, I love low-key and really, you know, Christmas is no different. And as I said to Dad a month ago, I go, mate, we don't, you know, I don't care whether it's Christmas or not. You just catch up for me personally. Like it's... Yeah. It's not this big intergalactic euphoric day. It's a day and whatnot. And so it can be any day for me when I make that, when we see each other. So for me, it's just, you know, it's just another day and off we go.
It is an interesting time of the year. This wasn't where we were going to go, but we'll jump on your top five in a minute. But it does evoke a lot of feelings and emotions and experiences for people, doesn't it? Where, you know, like people, some people love it, some people dread it coming, some people get sad, some people get social and connected, some people get pissed and fall over, but it's certainly an interesting day.
Mate, interesting that you say that because I did something about that the other day because I had that same thought. This time of year, a lot of people can feel lonely.
Yeah.
They can feel empty and lost. And I said to people, I said, look, my thoughts on that is that, you know, loneliness is a thought that creates a feeling that triggers an emotional hormonal response. Because if you are completely present doing something, you can't be lonely because you're not, you don't have the thought because you're immersed in what you're doing. So I believe that loneliness is when you get in your head and you reflect where you were, past and future, memories, what if scenario, and what your other mates are doing and how you think they're amazingly happy and you're not lonely, lonely. So I just did some stuff around that to help people with loneliness this time of year because it is a very, very big factor. Some people love it and some people, you know, the studies and the stats show depression, anxiety spikes.
Yeah, well, that's literally you go, what day, what's today? Thursday, is it Thursday?
Yeah.
So what day is Christmas Day, Melissa? Friday? Yeah. So here's the thing. You can go, oh, it's Christmas Day, or you can go, it's Friday.
That's right.
It's Friday. It's another Friday, just like last Friday, just like, and the only place that it's really a different Friday is in our head, you know? I mean, yeah, we're going to do some different things and maybe see some different people, but yeah, it is. But having said that, I understand why people, you know, some people spiral and some people are sad and some people, you know, I get it.
Of course, mate, I lived in that place for decades.
Yeah.
I could write 17 books on it. Don't worry about that. But I reckon the best thing the best thing people could do, dead set, throw the calendar in the bin and just do your best each day and, you know, practice being present and you'll shoot the lights out. Because, mate, the calendar just triggers so many emotions all the time.
That's so true, isn't it? When you think about, oh, today I'm 40. Well, you're exactly the same as you were yesterday when you were 39, but today you've got a new story. Or today's, you know, December the 28th, and in 3 days, on January the 1st, I'm changing my life in three days.
That one. And just on that very quickly, they obviously my background, weight loss, body trim and fitness, and mate, dead set, if there's one strategy that doesn't work, everybody listening, it's a New Year's resolution on January 1. Because, mate, historical data shows us, I remember from body trim, we do a New Year's resolution. we'd fire it up again after Australia Day because everyone drops the ball and we go again. Like, it's never worked. So get clear on what you want, but if you're just going to, you know, be on the piss and all over the shop till January 1 and that's the day, well, get ready to reload.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we wanted you to share five thoughts or ideas around how we might have a better experience in 2021 than we did in 2020. We're ready, son. We're ready. Lock and load.
Yeah, cool. All right, number one, just leading off from that last topic, was start by starting. Start where you stand. So doesn't really matter what's gone on or what could have been, should haves and would haves, but we've got to start where we are.
Yeah.
And that probably, we're kind of waiting for the, you know, the blue sky and the perfect moment to start. Well, the good and the bad news is it never comes. But what does come is where you are. So I would encourage everybody to get a little bit of momentum going into January 1 and actually start better patterns, habits, practices now. And then January 1, you've actually got a little bit of momentum instead of absolutely zero momentum. And you've eaten for Australia and drunk for the South Pacific. And you're like, oh, January, oh, I'm buckled. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, next week, well, you're gone.
Yeah.
So again, calendar overrated, starting today underrated. And so that'd be the first one. Start where you stand, start by starting. Probably the biggest of all is stop comparing. Mm. If you want next year to be better, you got to stop comparing. Comparison's the thief of joy. And, you know, the grass is greener, they say, but I reckon it's green where you water it. And you could import the Greg Norman Florida special seeded grass. And old Dave, you know, over the fence, he's got the stuff from Flower Power. He's watering his Dave. And it's lush.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, juicy, lush grass. And your Florida Greg Norman grass, it's just packed it in. Not because it's shit, because you didn't water it. And you think, oh, I imported this stuff. It's the grouse. It's the best. And Greg Norman, and it's dead. It's not Greg's fault. It's your fault because you're looking at Dave. So you got to water your grass and stop looking at Dave's. And then you go, good, we've got to stop comparing. And I think Harps like that very detailed metaphor that I've used. But we do it way too much. Social media is the biggest cause, but that, you don't blame social media, blame yourself because you're on it. So use it to serve you, not be a servant to it, is really important with social media. Don't be a servant to it. Use it to serve you where it benefits you, not looking at what Phyllis and Sally are doing and their holiday and, like, who cares? Stop comparing. That's number two. Number three is address the elephant in the room. Because the elephant in the room over there, like, still there. Yep, still there. Looking the other way, still there. So the relationship that's run its course, the job you hate, the business that's not working, the elephant that fear holds you back from addressing, until you change, nothing changes. And a lot of people have got that elephant in the room and they're kind of, oh, just look over here a bit and she'll be right. She's not going to be right. She's just going to be there forever. And you can't get unstuck until you address the elephant. Fear holds us back. But the thing about fear is when you get out of inertia into momentum, fear dissolves. So in inertia, it's massive fear. Apparently everyone who jumps out of an aeroplane, I haven't done it and not planning on it, but they jump out and they reckon they shit themselves, like, on the ground, in the plane, in inertia. But as soon as they're out the door, they're like, how good's this?
Yeah.
Same deal. So again, fear holds us back. We've got to step into it, not away from it. Address the elephant. Really important, that one. And another one is, you know, practice being present. Practice it. I've had literally yesterday three clients just out of the blue, but it happens quite a bit, message me like, mate, I'm really good, but I was just sort of sitting here and, you know, I didn't have much to do. And I, you know, like, is that okay? Is that normal? Like, we're so conditioned to stress, overwhelm, fear, anxiety, problems, drama, that when we don't have any, we're like, shit, am I doing it right? And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But it's so foreign to us to just, you know, human being, not human stressing, doing, fighting, pushing, that we're like, oh, shit, well, hang on, is this right? Bloody hell. And then what else happens as well is that, you know, we like to find a problem when there's not one because we're so used to having one. So you're sitting on the beach no dramas, and then you, well, the head starts racing and you've created a problem that's not there. So I was the champion of that. You know, early on, these are part of the stages and phases, I believe, of growth and evolving, because you're so used to that, having dramas and problems, you don't have one, so you get anxious.
And I think we feel guilty about doing nothing. We feel guilty about being still. We feel guilty about not fucking ticking boxes and hitting KPIs and crossing off shit on the to-do list. And we've spoken before about this compulsion that we have to tell people how fucking busy we are, because that's the badge of honor, because my self-worth comes from my busyness. And if I'm really fucking busy, you'll like me. So let me tell you how fucking busy I am. And for God's sake, don't find out that I've got not much on today and perish the thought that I fucking relax and watch Netflix or sit by the pool or play with my dog or ride my horse or fucking sit in nature and think about the meaning of life. Like, it's funny how we seem to attach what's the word, significance or value or importance to, you know, shit. Yeah. It's like, really, when you step away from it, you go, does that really matter? Like, you know, at the core of who I am and my values is this thing that I'm so committed to, my busyness, is it really that important?
Well, I think you touched on something there, mate. I think being busy is almost a status symbol. And what it does, it props up our low self-esteem, because if I'm busy, I must be important. And if I'm important, I must be good.
Yeah.
And you start to create a story that, well, I'm busy, but busy's not the goal for me. And as I said the other day, human here now experiencing life. And another thing quickly about being better next year is not being attached to only our agenda and outcome. Mm. And because there is magic around every bend if you just don't get the shits around every bend.
Mm.
I drove up to ride my horse. I think it was yet 2 days ago. It was hosing down rain. Everything was underwater. And the old Jeff, go back a couple of years, I'd be like, oh, fucking hell. I drove all this way, pissing down. I can't even ride. This is shit. I don't do that anymore. Oh, well, it's raining, you know, whatever. I'll just hang out a bit and whatever. And I had my golf jacket, my waterproof jacket. So I walked down to his stable and it was pissing down. And I stood in the rain and I just went, how good's this? And because you're in nature. And I just stood in the rain and I was just breathing. I was really still. And then, and in that moment, I looked over there and there were these two ducks, mum and dad duck. I've noticed them recently. They just potter around together everywhere, these two. And I just watched them for a bit, doing their best, but how good's this? And then I walked down to the stable, saw my horse, did that. He had an itchy bum. He nearly wiped me out as he flung around to scratch it on the wall. I thought, what's going on here? And he scratched his ass on the wall. And just great little things like that. Got in my car, went home, life's good. No dramas, it's great, versus this is shit, I can't ride. Now, that's a choice.
Mm.
Why is riding better than that? It's not.
Yeah.
It's just not. But if I'm attached to it, we think it is. And the last thing, Harbs, for you guys and everyone is learn something new. That's a great thing for the next year. Like, learn something new. It might be a new language, piano, learn to paint, learn something that's not to monetize, just because you can.
Yeah. Have a new
learning.
Have a new experience. Do new things with new people. Be in a new environment. I always say to people, do something that's un-you.
Yeah.
Like un-you.
And I challenge you. I want you to be shit. Yeah. I want you to be really shit, because unless you're really shit, you're not having a go, because you start something new and you're always really shit.
Yeah.
So that's good. We've got to be really shit. And you can have a laugh. And every professional was once a beginner, all that stuff. And just be playful with it and learn something, whatever it is. And because that flows into other areas of your life, and you don't take yourself so bloody seriously.
Yeah.
Because you've got to be good at it. Oh, I've got to be good at it. No, you don't. Why? You can't be good at it if it's new. And that'll break that pattern of I've got to be good. No, you don't. Just start something new. And It gives you enthusiasm for life, and I think that's the secret sauce, enthusiasm. Nothing, we can't be our best if we're not enthusiastic, and if we're not learning new things, we can't be enthusiastic. So there's five of the GJ best, biggest hits for next year, and they're not defined by external variables. You can do all of those. Mm. You can start by starting. You can stop comparing. You can start something new. You can, what else did I say? You can practice being present.
The elephant in the room.
On the elephant in the room. So you can do all of those regardless of what life throws at us in 2021. That's best practice.
Yeah.
And we set ourselves up to win at life.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't believe everything you think.
Oh, mate, believe probably 10% of it. Yeah, put the filter through it. Laugh at it. Observe it. I've gotten good at observing the rubbish that comes out at times. I just pat the dog, go for a walk, it's gone.
Yeah.
You don't dive into it.
Yeah.
And being an awareness of self, you know, when you're not feeling optimal, you're going to have shitty thoughts. Just have a little laugh at them.
Yeah.
When you're feeling really good, you go, what was I thinking? Yeah. Don't deep dive into it and then just turn it into a massive issue, because it's not, it's just a thought.
When you think about all of these five that you shared, you know, about busyness and about, you know, waiting for the right day and the number on the calendar and what you've got versus what they've got comparison. And all of these things are stories in our head about what should be or when we should start or what we should do or what we should avoid or why now is not the right time. And I think one of the challenges, you know, that we're always telling ourselves stories to justify what we're not doing or what we're not owning up to. Or, and you make a beautiful point about, you know, the starting point for most new things, most new skills or most new lessons or most new practices is that we're shit at it. And not only is it okay to be shit at it, it's kind of necessary, because that's where development and growth and learning and skill happen, is in the shit. You know, nobody picks up a footy and plays AFL next Tuesday. Nobody picks up a guitar and is playing, you know, in front of an auditorium of people 2 weeks later, you know, or nobody goes to a fucking dojo and is a black belt in a week. You know, it's just like, this is, you start as a white belt at everything and you get the shit kicked out of you until you learn how to defend yourself and how to fight and how to build resilience and how to build endurance and strength and insight and awareness and fucking, you know, understanding. And it's in the becoming the white belt to the yellow belt in whatever the endeavor that you change, you know. And this is the essence of personal development, is that we are developing us.
Absolutely. And I think, and if you shit at something new, it's actually a great lesson for the rest of your life, because we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to nail it all the time, and we don't have to.
Yeah.
But if we don't take ourselves so seriously, we go better at life. If you're not as serious with life, it's not as serious with you, and you can be a bit more playful and things just, the show goes on. As I said to someone the other day, yesterday in the cafe, I said, when people realize that no one actually gives a fuck about your level of success, because they don't. They actually do not give two fucks. You just go, oh, this is great. I'll just go and have a bit of fun and play with life, because no one cares. Mm. Like, but people think people, you know, status quo on the ladder, no one cares. Literally no one cares. So then you can just get rid of that junk and just do life. And the paradox is you go further.
Yeah. That's funny. Sometimes I do this fucking stupid thing because I'm in a moment of unawareness, of which I have many, or self-indulgence, of which I have many, right? And someone will go, oh, you know, so how's your PhD going? And then I just open the door and I start talking to them about my research, and their eyes glaze over and roll back in their head, and they start looking at their watch and their phone and over my shoulder. And I'm like, oh, they don't actually care. They don't actually want to know. They're just being polite. And I'm actually fucking jumping in boots and all and telling them how I'm fucking validating my scale. It's hilarious. It's and I scaled. Go, oh, yeah, scaled. That's right. And it's not that nobody cares about anything, but, yeah, it's that, you know, this shit is the only person who really thinks this is really important is me, and that's okay.
That's right.
That's okay.
And it just – but it takes all the – like people are held back by what they feel are others' expectations, but they don't have them. You've got them on yourself.
Yeah.
If you hate your job, well, you can hate your job for the next 10 years, or maybe get another one. It could be a good choice. You could, like, you can get unstuck, and it's not, oh, but I've done, you know, what will they don't think about. They just don't, and they probably respect you more because you're out there having a crack and getting unstuck and getting happy. Like, surely that's got to be priority one, getting happy, and then things flow out of that. I don't think really good things flow out of unhappy. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. And sometimes the journey from unhappy to happy is a bit messy and lumpy and bumpy and terrifying, but nonetheless, it's one that needs to be made, working against adversity, working against resistance, working through pain. We don't like it, and I don't like it either, but it's part of the human experience. It's inevitable. You know, we're not going to accidentally land on our feet. We're not going to accidentally succeed. We're not going to fucking wake up in the middle of nirvana one day because an angel landed on our window overnight and sprinkled fairy dust on our ass while we were sleeping.
Mate, I totally agree. And just, you know, to wrap up on that point, Harps, here's the good news about getting unstuck and you know, unhappy to happy. I think of it like a slingshot. So when you're stuck and you're unhappy, and I lived there for a long time, what I felt and observed, it's like you're stuck, but like with a slingshot, you're back here and you're stuck. But when you get unstuck, whooshka.
Yeah.
You don't just plod along.
Yeah.
You launch.
Yeah.
So the very thing that holds you back, it catapults you forward.
Yeah.
So you think I've wasted all this time? You haven't, because it's not linear. And whooshka, and away you go. And I see it in people all the time now, clients and whatnot, and they're here. But then, mate, the exponential propulsion when they do the thing, it's unbelievable. And it just goes into all areas of their life. And that's what happened to me. But you think you wasted all this time. You didn't. It was necessary to learn the lessons. And then you change, and boom, off you go.
Well, mate, we appreciate you. We're going to keep this one brief, as is the nature of these 10 in a row, this 10 in a row series. But just want to say that we love your guts, and we appreciate you being part of the U. I mean, I love you as a mate anyway, but we appreciate you being a really integral part of the podcast, not just this year, not just 2020, but last year and since its inception. And we constantly get awesome feedback about you. And people love the way you teach and your relatability. And, you know, we love your rawness and realness and authenticity and your willingness to share your lessons and the good and bad from your own life. So, mate, we appreciate you, and thanks for being part of the team this year.
Oh, mate, means a great deal. Melissa, Craig, love you both very much, and look forward to doing more next year with you.
All right, mate. Thanks. Stay on the call.
Cheers.
Thanks. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. See you tomorrow.